Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, presented by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
We do pray that the hurricane is being taken care of.
Amen, Lord.
That the Lord is sending his angelic forces to chase that thing back into the ocean in Jesus' name. And it won't come towards
Amen.
Georgia, South, Amen. North Carolina, it'll go.
Turn east, Dorian, in Jesus' name. Turn east. Turn east. May the Lord, Lord, we pray, send your angels, send your winds, favorable winds, Lord, against these immoderate rains, and turn it back out to sea. We thank you for saving life and property and coastline in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise
so
the Lord.
So we are really getting ready for certain important things, like I really didn't know that the Israeli elections would be happening, but after next Sunday, after the service, we'll be taking a group of people
yep.
to Israel.
Yes, pilgrimage.
And it's a pilgrimage. It is. It's going to be so much, such a blessing, and we pray. We will, if you have a small little prayer request, you write it down. Small.
Even letter. If it's big, write it small.
Yeah, it can be a big request, but just small on a slip of paper and give it to us. We may put it, one of the traditions is put your prayer request in the Western Wall.
Yeah.
We go, the Kotel. If you've never done it, you can now, if you have your iPad, phone, whatever, and you want to get, just put in Kotel, and it'll give you to a live coverage. There's always a camera live at the Western Wall. And it's fun to put it there. If you see an extremely good-looking white-haired man there in the next few days, do not doubt there can be only one. Anyway, but we'll be there. I don't know which day. We will text it.
Our healing service, which is open to the public, as Rich said, is on the eve of the election, and then our watch on the southern steps, which are actually the steps that Jesus and his disciples would have gone up to enter into the Temple Mount. You see many stories there in the Gospels. But the watch will be in that spot on the election day. And, once again, we just have to we kind of bumble into God's calendar continually, and it's so beautiful, it's so precious, that as a community, we repeatedly surprise ourselves by finding ourselves right at an epicenter of something that is also on God's calendar. So we praise the Lord for that just delightsome grace and the opportunity to be there on your behalf and carrying you with us, the watch, also in Jerusalem.
By the way,
during this time,
if someone is, I forgot to dismiss the children. I think most of them dismissed themselves. But if you're waiting for the signal, it is given.
It's awesome.
Anyway, go ahead.
No, that was it. We were chatting a bit this morning. I know that there are several whose real heart's desire is to go to Jerusalem and was to be able to go this year, not quite able to make it this year. And I was recalling how in the Middle Ages, the great desire and the great, one of the great aspirations in the life of Christians was to be able to make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And it was very costly, and you had to stop work and all kinds of things. So it would be a major, major endeavor. And in order to allow more people to make that pilgrimage, the whole idea of the labyrinths that the cathedrals began to put in their floors was that so people could make a shorter distance and walk the labyrinth in prayer as though they were making the journey to Jerusalem, and for the same, you know, benefit of worship and display of devotion to the Lord, they would do that. And we actually did that in Zion College. We have a beautiful labyrinth, so my wheels started turning. We might, if we can get it put together, we might be able to have something for those of you whose desire was to go, and just in prayer, you can kind of, you know, go in a creative way, perhaps, right back here. I'll see if I can work out the logistics.
That's a good part. Yeah. So pray for us also while we're gone, so we'll have safe journey, but it's an adventure.
Yeah.
And a pilgrimage, yeah. And people in ancient days used to look forward towards mm-hmm. getting that once in a lifetime opportunity to go and bless Israel and pray for the peace of Jerusalem right there.
And of course, you know, for us in our generation, you know, beginning at the turn of the century and the beginning of the restoration of the Jewish people to the physical geographical land that Abraham had promised them. And then, of course, in 1948, when Israel officially became a state among modern nations, recognized among modern nations, one of the things that we see in history from 1900 moving forward, in fact, 1880 moving forward, are these major events for natural Israel and the Jewish people concurrent with major moves of the Spirit, outpouring of the Spirit, and dynamics for the church in the earth. So there is a beautiful and prophetic, right in line with Scripture, restoration. Say restoration. There is a historical, evidentiary restoration paralleling the restoration of Israel to the covenant promises of God to Abraham and the restoration of the church to her spiritual promises in the earth. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, and we had an invitation which we took. It was a privilege because we believe in blessing Israel, praying for the Jewish people. And during the late 70s and 80s and early 90s, there was a major struggle for letting and helping in the effort of letting the Jewish people be released from the Soviet Union and Soviet Empire. And there was great oppression. And there were the desire at the same time God had put in the Jewish people to make Aliyah. So there was a great struggle. And we were involved in helping raise major funds. And among a small group of people that we raised millions of dollars to help release the Jewish people from the Soviet Union, and help Bonnie made a major banner called Let My People Go that became was on the news and worldwide news and ABC News that carried it. And this was the banner that marched through the Jerusalem. It became very famous, Let My People Go. But we were involved in the effort to help bless the Jewish people in that particular way. So, you know, we believe in the scripture, you know, I'll bless those who bless thee and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love thee. Yeah. So if God's going to prosper us, I'm going to say, here we are. Thank you, Lord, for we receive it for each family. Yeah. So as we go, we want to be able to just bless Israel once again at this very unique time where the U.S. Embassy has just recently been moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And this was another extra point to bless America. And America is getting blessed in very special way, but we are able to witness the restoration. Say restoration.
Restoration.
So that's one of the big words that I feel like as we have been fasting and prayer, this is one of the few communities that takes prayer and fasting seriously, and we do it in a committed way, just as we do watching and praying. Not too many people are doing that. But anyway, this we are on our last week of this 21-day fast, and we really believe that God does awesome, wonderful things.
Amen.
So, and our friend and teacher, Derek Prince, used to believe also that corporate fasting, where we together join, you may do 2 or 3 days, but in the 21-day period, we are praying. We're praying for every family here. We are praying for your needs, praying for any specific needs or prayer requests we have. But it gives a kind of oomph to prayer when people join together in corporate fasting and prayer.
And we see historically the demonstration of God with his people Israel throughout the Bible, where at certain times they came together as a whole community, as a nation, to humble themselves, to seek the Lord in prayer and fasting. And always it was for recovery. It was for return to the Lord, recovery of what had been lost, stolen, eaten up by the enemy, for cry of humility out of the midst of desolation and chaos, and the prayer for restoration. Say restoration. Psalm 102, say set time. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. Say all generations. So we are standing for our future generations, including the inheritance of our children in this nation. So we are praying and fasting also for our children's inheritance in this nation. You shall endure forever in remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion. For the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. Say yes.
Yes.
The set time,
yes,
has come. Lord, we do agree with your word as laborers together with you in this time of fasting. And we say with your word, yes, the time to favor your people has come. The time to favor Israel has come. Yes. Amen. Amen.
And so one of the key scriptures at this time is in the book of Acts, chapter 3. We can go to Acts chapter 3 and start with around verse 19, which says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So this is time refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord himself. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things whatever he says to you. So God is doing one of the major things he's doing at this time is sending refreshing so the times of restoration. Until the times of restoration of all things. All things. All things.
All things.
So These are among the things that the Lord is doing, is he is, the season of restoration is being released. And God's, in a sense, you can call it the minute hand. What is God doing today?
It's good.
If you keep your eye on Israel, you will. We are destined to be prophetic people. That if people out there are confused, we are not. We as Christians, we have an idea of what God is doing. God is bringing people to Christ. And that overall in the nations, these are times of restoration. Mm-hmm. And the example, above all, is Israel. And if you had seen Israel in the, at the end of the Second World War, it was devastated. It was a wilderness. A few, not too many houses. And then God allowed Israel, the Israelis, to get title to the land. The United Nations recognized Israel can come back. It can be restored. So it began, but it was desert. It was, if you, there wasn't much there. But God allowed restoration. Say restoration.
Restoration.
The Bible says first in the natural, then in the spiritual. So this was something that God himself did, and you could see with your eyes. We started going in the, what, around 77, mm-hmm. 76, 77 mm-hmm. onwards. And then God helped us. I mean, God blessed us, yeah. And then I got invited every year for 23 years to do this major healing services each year, the Feast of Tabernacles. So they paid our way to go. And Bonnie would go off, and then we would take our children. But we would see, every year, we would see how it was blessed. I mean, places that were not green suddenly turned green. And desert became farmland and just mm-hmm. prospered. It was God transformed the land in such an amazing way. So we were able to see portion of what God was doing where restoration is concerned. And as you saw that, then there is two covenant peoples that God has. One is you, that's the church, we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other is as natural people, Israel. So you will get an idea of what he's doing in the spiritual as you look at the natural. In the natural, you see the land being restored. And it's so amazing. It was desolate. And then it starts blossoming. Yeah. And you see green all over where it was just desert. And gorgeous farms and
yeah.
people settling in the desert. You would say, why are they settling in the desert? And then it's blooming. After a few years, you see it blooming. And it's basically, the word restoration is an important word that you want to hover around. May the Lord bless you. And that's why over all these years we have prayed and we have also helped as we could in the natural in Israel. We helped to bring the captives home in our, with our raising of funds that we used to do. Two, 3 years ago we blessed and invested majorly in buying an ambulance yeah. for Jerusalem. But we have done certain things. And by the way, as most of you know, the ambulance that we bought was the number one ambulance for birthing children.
Live births.
Live births, yeah.
On the way to the hospital in that ambulance. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We dedicated it. You remember, some of you remember, we dedicated it, laid hands on it right out there in that parking lot. Psalm 102 goes on to say, you will arise and have mercy on Zion. You know you're Zion too. We don't replace Israel, but we are God's covenant people, and these are our promises truly, ultimately fulfilled in Jesus with eternal life. You will arise and have mercy on Zion. Say, have mercy, Lord. For the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. Your servants take pleasure in her stones. You know you are the living stones. We are the living stones that God is putting in place, and he's refining us and fitting us to fit into his building up of his glorious eternal city. Now, it's not just way off sometime in the future. It's now. All of the parables of Jesus speak to God doing a work in his people in the earth toward an eternal reward. Your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. And so we see there the working with God in our prayers and our fasting, the working with God, not for him, but with him as he is building up his people, his covenant people, Zion. 1 Corinthians 3, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Say, he takes pleasure in his stones.
He takes pleasure in his stones.
That's us. Look at this. Look at the rock sitting next to you. The spiritual rock sitting next to you. God takes great delight in his stones. According to the grace of God given us as wise master builders, laying a foundation that another builds on, let each one take heed to how he builds. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's a good foundation. The cornerstone is laid out perfectly. We look at him, we build according to him. If anyone builds with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear for the day, with a capital D. The Lord shall appear in his glory. The day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. The Lord promised us at the beginning of this year that this is going to be a year of beginning to see the rewards of faith that has been tested in fire. Because it's set time for God taking pleasure to build up his people has come. Fire will test each one's work, and doesn't it? In little ways, in big ways. I know even this fasting time, I had a fresh encounter with my stomach. And who's in charge? I want this. I want that. I want this. I want that. We had a major head-to-head collision a couple of days ago. And my stomach was saying, I want that. And I had told my stomach a couple of weeks ago, you can't have that for a few days. It was saying, oh! I almost gave in. I halfway crossed the line. And then I repented the next day and back, stomach, you are not God. Submit yourself. Fasting. It's to humble the flesh and show the flesh you are not in charge here all the time. Praise the Lord. But it also makes us like clearer to hear the Lord, be more released, just to be in the rhythms and the resonance of the person of the Holy Spirit. And it really was magnified to me during worship this morning when we were singing that song that says magnify. And I felt us, like the Holy Spirit in us, with Jesus and the Spirit of the Lord meeting together and kissing. And our little skin, you know, was kind of in between us. They were just coming together. But it was really magnified to me. And in the sound of our voice, if you remember back to that moment. But an element of that is becoming clearer, us becoming clearer through this process of fasting together as a community.
And we, this is one of the secrets, and you are getting to be in the secret, inside the secret, is that some of the greatest power of God is released when people are corporately, not just individually doing their thing, but
Thank you, Lord.
A group of people united in purpose, the church, and fasting and prayer. And it's the most clearest way of humbling ourselves. God tells us, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord so that he can exalt you and lift you up. We choose to humble. Say, Lord, we have no might, but we seek your face. If my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their land, will heal their land. And that we are seeing that. And in the sense, I mean, boy, it's not pleasant to be under judgment. And corporately, we could, as a nation, the number of abortions that went on in the millions in this nation, that would turn the Lord's favor away from us. But our prayer and fasting and repentance, our humbling ourselves together, that is one of the best ways of seeking and healing our relationship with God so that he can bless. The other way, we have talked about it a lot here already, is the way we have helped bless Israel and help Jerusalem. This is a major plus for us. And so one of the things that God is doing is that it's times of restoration. As a time season of restoration, we want to bring our children, our grandchildren,
Amen.
Up to the Lord, saying, Lord, in this time of restoration, restore our children. May the addictions be broken. May they be able to have good jobs. May they have healthy families. We can lift them up. This is times of restoration. So one of the clearest scriptures that is exciting and fun is, which is, you see it in the natural and in the spiritual. In the natural, with his body of believers today, or church, but the spiritual, I'm sorry, and then the natural is Israel. But in that context, one of the fun scriptures, I always enjoyed looking at it, is Ezekiel 37, which says, the hand of the Lord, verse 1, came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. This is where God brings Ezekiel, the prophet, into the valley of dry bones. These are dead bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. So there were not only dead bones clacking together, in fact, they were dry. So they had been in the heat of the sun all these many years. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And then the Lord, it's a peculiar question. They're already dead. They're clacking, they're dry. Can these bones live? And so I answered, very smart answer. Ezekiel says, oh Lord God, you know. Very good. When God asks these kind of questions, the best thing is to say, you know, Lord. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I'll cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I'll put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I proclaimed as he commanded me, and breath came up into them. And they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And then I just want to move the camera and remember the many pictures you have seen of the in the historical archives. When American soldiers, after the Battle of the Buds, we talked about the Battle of the Buds, but after they defeated Nazi Germany, they were able to go into that areas where there had been concentration camps, and they saw thousands and thousands of people who had died, who were just skeletons.
Yeah.
And there had been many of the multiple thousands had been buried. And as they opened those areas, they found so many dead bones and dead people. And it was very prophetic. God had already prophesied a couple of thousand years before this would happen. But
Jesus.
That God said, but I'm going to make Israel alive, and it will no longer be a valley of dry bones, but they are going to be resurrected from the dead almost, and they're made into a thriving nation. So the Lord, Ezekiel, was fulfilled in the restoration of Israel as a very thriving land. And God also, that word we can apply to the church, that whatever was dry and dead, God is going to restore and pour out his spirit, and they will be once again alive and full of his life, his spirit. So Ezekiel 37 applies in wonderful way to Israel, where we had the Holocaust and the memory of the Holocaust, but God has turned it around into a thriving land as just doing great things and blessed and being a blessing. And also, he's blessing his church, that the valley of dry bones will be full of breath and life and have blessing nations.
And we see in that picture as well the significance of the bones individually coming alive, like the individual members. And as the Spirit of the Lord is breathed onto them and into them, they begin to have living tissue that surrounds and begins to connect them. And the whole purpose and goal is to create a body. And that is exactly what Jesus has done and continues to do in generation after generation until he comes. Because he's seated on the throne of the cosmos, continually releasing the Spirit of God to awaken individually the hearts of men and women, that we might know him personally and then bring those awakened bones together with other awakened bones and create living bonds of love and fellowship and communion in the Lord and build his body together. And so one of the things that we're seeing in terms of God's reviving of the church now is a fresh reviving on the relational joints in the gathering of local communities. We see the world hungry for community and going about some very different ways of building and ideas towards urban settings and this and that and something else. But people are looking for community. And God has already given the most beautiful, powerful form of community. And that is the transformed lives of individuals coming together, adding strength to one another, as the Lord, as Scripture says, builds up Zion. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So the bones are coming together to build a body in order to function. I mean, that's the point, right? A bone on its own, hallelujah, but joined together with the other bones that are in their place, then it becomes this mighty army. Praise the Lord.
The other aspect I just want to see for us as see the ministry of Ezekiel, that God sometimes uses humans, and I believe that he can use you, us, in individual cases where people have been really so robbed and they're broken lives and they're hurting or they're addicted. There's so many ways, addiction to other things or sexually broken, that God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live?
Yeah.
And Ezekiel says, Lord, you know. But God says, prophesy to them. And you will see something happen. And Ezekiel stands and starts prophesying. And on an individual basis, I would say, may the Lord
Amen.
Put his breath in Amen. Each of you today.
Amen.
That you can prophesy to dead things. That's part of our destiny and calling at this time. That where it's dead and dying, and you'd say, Lord, why did you bring me into this? And this is depressing. And the Lord says, listen, I have put my anointing in you. And you, in this very place, you are going to prophesy.
Amen.
I have put my breath in you. Now you prophesy to these dead bones and say they will live.
Amen.
There are families that need, broken families that need that prophetic element so that they can live. They are so hurting, broken. But this is the demonic influence. But you are an emissary of the living God. God wants to commission each of us. And that's why we have seen these last 2 years here, so many people come and they are, for example, they are in cancer in its way, in its extreme. And then we have prayed, and I have been so astounded. And the next week, I was showing that letter from 2 weeks ago? Just before I went to Fort Dallas, we had a letter. You prayed just at the conference, and I had stage 4 cancer, mm-hmm. and now it's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
We had several of those in the recent days, and it is from death to life, and God is using his body. So never accept a situation is totally gone. If you are there, you're going to be able to speak something and have hope that God is once again. These are times of restoration.
Yes.
Say restoration.
Restoration.
So God will use you in your own family or in your neighbor's family. God wants to commission you, even today, to be as an Ezekiel. Prophesy to these bones. Can these bones live? Lord is saying, they are going to live.
Amen.
And I'm going to put you right Amen. In the middle of it.
Amen.
And you exercise faith because things are going to start cooking. And God wants to anoint you. Where there are brokenness, where there is divorce, God wants to heal. Where there is hurt, God wants to heal this hurt. Where there is addiction, God wants to bring deliverance.
And so we pray today that each of us, as we have shared and continue to share for another week, this time of corporate prayer and fasting, we see in multiple examples in Scripture that the church prayed and fasted together for God to open doors of favor. And so in Acts 14, for instance, it says that they confirmed the souls of the disciples and exhorted them to continue in the faith, that through much testing, we enter the kingdom of God. And after they had set leaders in every church with prayer and fasting, they commended them to the Lord. And it says, then they sailed on and came back to give a report. And in verse 27 it says, and when they had come, they gathered the church together and rehearsed everything that the Lord had done and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Hosea, again, says, the valley of trouble is a door of hope. So during this time of fasting now, we decree over you and we receive from the Lord open doors of favor and open doors into these places where you may bring the word live by the Spirit of the Lord. Live by the Spirit of the Lord. Set time
to favor.
Of favor
the
has
set
come.
Time.
Thank you.
So, and we ourselves can declare the favor of the Lord, the deliverance of the Lord.
And
we
so
have
we,
seen.
We do commission you. We commission you afresh. We affirm you afresh. And together, we have one another's backup and prayers and support. We didn't get a chance to tell them of all the good things. I'll just quickly say myself and part of our team, Jenna, Heather, Katie, and some of the other folks from here, Pam, were up at Ashland and had a beautiful week of ministry there. Katie and Heather were also asked to preach in the services there. They were absolutely amazing. The spirit of revelation and power on them to preach the word and to pray for people was really beautiful. There were a number of powerful testimonies and testimonies, really supernatural encounter from the times that we had been there before. And then I went on to Maryland to minister at our Father's house with Pastor Lanny Clark. And just prior to service today, they sent me pictures and all kinds of stuff of the great, of the tremendous shift that had happened in the congregation there since we were there ministering. So that's your faith, that is your prayers, that is your tithes and offerings also being extended to the lives of many, to touch the lives of many.
And so, and there are some you have not had a chance to join our fast, that there's still time. And so the next few days, if you want to just drink juice for lunch for a couple of days, or just there are various ways that you can participate. If you don't, for example, Daniel fast was a 21-day fast where he ate basically, you could say, he ate vegetables and beans and things like that, but did not eat meat. That God honored that as a fast. So there are different ways that you can fast, but you can participate in a corporate fast. We are seeking the face of God.
Amen, Lord.
We are humbling ourselves. We are asking for mercy on our nation. And by the way, we are already seeing it. We are seeing it. It's still a process that some who get to travel, some of us don't. Bonnie and I get to travel quite a bit. But we have seen the last few 7 years or 8 years, but the devastation in so many cities that lost multiple. Do you know there were almost what? About nearly 200,000 major factories that we lost. Literally factories were, they just packed some of the things that they could pack and moved to China, moved to Mexico. And the way we acted was to benefit them and profit them, they would, by moving away from America. And it was a devastating, heartbreaking thing to see millions of Americans lose their livelihood because the big corporate guys thought they could just profit here slightly, and nobody stopped them. And finally, people are stopping them, saying, hey, this, as we lose, I mean, multiple hundreds of thousands of factories were moved so that literally Americans could not have jobs. a few big heads of corporations got their big money, but all the regular people who worked for a living, they still wanted to work, and they were basically lost their job. That it is being restored. Those factories are being restored. Those thousands and thousands of giant buildings that were empty are now becoming full of people, workers, and there are something. So in all these small towns, there is lots and lots of jobs available. It is a work of restoration. So we need to keep thanking the Lord that these, may more factories come here. May more people in America be able to be employed. Part of the heart was, breaks at that time was to see these people were hard workers. They wanted to work, but they couldn't find employment. Now it's being restored. So that word restoration is precious, so that our children have jobs and good jobs and not part-time little bitty jobs here. I'm not against that. I mean, if that's what you want, fine. But they could not find full-time employment, and now it's coming back. Amen. So we just already need to start thanking the Lord Jesus. That he is given us this kind of restoration Amen. In our nation. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
And so across America, as families gather together and do fun things, celebrate Labor Day, let us remember to thank the Lord for restoration of jobs and better jobs for every family in America.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank you. If you are far away, just get close to others so you can hold hands with your neighbor. We're going to just unite it. And Michael and team, you can come back. And it says in 2 Chronicles, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then and cry out to me, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. And we are seeing that. And in this fast, we have already given several days to fasting. We as a people, Lord, humble ourselves in the midst of this, and we seek your face, Lord. Our eyes are on you. Even as Jehoshaphat turned his eyes towards you. Even as Solomon. Even as Nehemiah turned his face towards you. Even as Esther, Queen Esther, had the people fast and turned to you, Lord. We turn to you. May, Lord, you hearken to our cry as we, in this season of repentance and humbling, ask you to restore. Restore broken families, Lord. Restore the land. Restore all the jobs and more jobs. Lord, we thank you. Restore with our broken families, Lord. Hear our prayer. Where our children have been taken captive by drugs and addiction. Hear our prayer, Lord. Set our young people free from any captivity of addiction, Lord. We are humbling ourselves, Lord. Let violence cease. Where these kinds of satanic acts, where people shoot innocent people, Lord, cover our land, we pray. We plead the blood of Jesus. Protect our law enforcement, our armed forces, Lord. Let corruption cease in Washington, D.C. Father, heal our land and expose where there is total fraud. Expose our land, Lord. We ask above all, thank you, Lord, for all the hundreds of thousands of jobs that have come back. We give you all the credit, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you for giving jobs and better jobs to so many who are broken people, but now you have healed our land. The factories are humming. We give you the praise.
Thank you, Lord.
As we read the figures that we are fully employed, that this does not mean this kind of employment for more than 50 years.
Thank you.
We give you, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we give you the thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord.
And we pray once again, Lord, give us leaders in every area of our nation, in our government, in our judiciary, in our local, in our law enforcement, in our churches, in our education system, in our health care. God, Lord, give us leaders such that it will be to your glory to give us, your people, the victory through them. We pray again concerning this storm, Dorian. God, turn this storm. Lord, bring favorable winds against these immoderate rains and give us fair weather, we pray, up and down the eastern coast of America. Save, Lord, from this storm, lives, families, property, and coastlands, Lord God.
Amen, Lord. Push it back into the ocean. It would not harm or hurt any person. We pray for Midland, Odessa, Lord, that you will cover that area and give comfort to those who need comfort, Lord. And ahead of time, we pray for the pilgrims who are going to Israel. For each family, each person, Lord, give safety. Let it be a journey of joy, restoration and blessing. Thank you, Lord. Cover from day one. Let your angels accompany the pilgrims who go to Israel. And may the same prayer, Lord, those who deserve to be able to be there. We pray for Benjamin Netanyahu and others who are running, who will guide Israel. Be victorious. Let them be victorious. In Jesus' name. Each family here now, as we seek your face, we pray restoration for every family here, for our children, our grandchildren, where we need jobs, where we need, Lord, new businesses to rise. Breathe on them, Lord. Let them be able to employ many other people. Thank you. We agree. I agree for people who are fighting infirmities, Lord. Thank you. Do a miracle for Ellis, for Pat. Miracle, restoration, and healing for all. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.